Let's pray. Father, we thank you. As this past week we've celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, we thank you that even today as we continue to meditate on the truths of your word and what it tells us about our salvation, what it tells us about the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what it is he has done for us. And Lord, we just pray now that as we turn to your word this morning, that our hearts would be open to what you have for us. And Lord, I pray that that we would be willing to change as a result of what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have to be honest. You know, I wonder why we say honest sometimes. I have to be honest. As your pastor, you probably expect that of me. But I have struggled over the past few months. It has been difficult to keep a positive attitude. And it's been a difficult year for churches and pastors abroad. You know, several weeks I spent standing in the aisle preaching to a camera. And I can assure you after those few weeks, I have no desire to be a televangelist. There have been a few Sundays as a result of what's going on that there may have been less than 20 people seated in this auditorium. And that may seem strange to you, but I much rather preach to a full room than to an empty room. People have been upset because we are asking them to wear masks. Others are unhappy because we're not having snacks. It's been a difficult year to do any kind of outreach. And the reality is I have to be careful. As if I choose to focus on all these things, it will rob me of my joy. I have to imagine if it hasn't been similar for some of you. I know some have had to cancel travel plans. For some, it has disrupted their work. Others, it has affected their income. Many had to stay home for the holidays. It is possible this is the first year in all of your life that you have not been able to complete a family tradition. The reality is, if we choose to focus on all the bad, you and I both, it will rob us of our joy. The question we have to wrestle with this morning is, where does our joy come from? Where are you seeking to find joy this morning? Is it in worldly pleasures? Maybe a relationship, time spent with family, a hobby. Maybe something new golf clubs, new car, new boat, new bicycle. The reality is these things will not bring us joy. Maybe for a while, but the reality is often they are short-lived. Often the payments will outlast the excitement and joy. This morning I'd like to suggest to you, especially as we celebrate Christmas, you know, the title of the message is The Gift of Joy. Often as Christmas, we look at those words, love, peace, hope, and joy. And really, those are all a result of salvation. They are all a gift that was given to us, is made possible through Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to look at joy. And the reality is, as Christians, we can find joy in our salvation. You know, I think of the Christmas story. As, you know, if you were here on Christmas Eve, we read through the Christmas story. And I particularly think of the part of the story where the shepherds are out in the field, and I particularly think of the message that the angels would have. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Reason, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I think of those words, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. When the reality is Jesus had been born, Jesus, this innocent baby boy lying in a manger, would be the one to save the world from their sins. It is through the birth of Jesus that we get a glimpse into God's love. It is through Jesus that we have the hope of eternal life. It is because of Jesus that we can rejoice regardless of our circumstances. The reality is, next week, next Friday, we will begin a new year. The year 2021 will be ushered in. But we really don't know what's in store. What if nothing changes? What if 2021, for some reason, ends up being more difficult than the year 2020? The reality is, we don't know what will take place in the next 365 days. But regardless, it is because of our salvation, it is because of our acceptance as Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have reason to rejoice. And I'm reminded, in the book of Luke, we're told that Jesus would send out the disciples, two by two. He sent out 70 of them. And in Luke chapter 10, the disciples would return, and they're all excited about all the things that had happened. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Let's read, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And then Jesus would say the following, and he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" Notice what Jesus tells them to rejoice over. He doesn't tell them to rejoice over all the power and authority that had given to them. He doesn't tell them to rejoice that they don't have to worry about scorpions and serpents and all kinds of things. I mean, these 70 men could walk through the swamp in southwest Florida and not have to worry. He says, don't rejoice over that. Don't rejoice that you have power over demons. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. You know, Jesus admits that they've been successful. He admits that they've been successful in pushing back the enemy. But yet this is not the most exciting news. This is not why they should be rejoicing. And I would say the same is true today. What if we could change all our circumstances? What if everything could be corrected? What if we could go back 365 days and we'd never heard of COVID? Or we found out that there is a cure and we don't even have to worry about the vaccine, that it was going to be wiped out. That would be some exciting news to the world around us. But that should not be what we rejoice in. We should rejoice in those of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ, that our name is written in the book of life. What a reminder of where our joy is to come from. The reality is, if you're here this morning, you have been blessed with material goods. We have been blessed to live in the United States. We have been blessed that we can enjoy our freedom to worship as we please. We have been blessed to be part of a local church. God has been good to us. And we need to be thankful for the things that we have here on earth, but our true joy comes from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ of eternal life. So the reality is, everything else could be stripped away. One big hurricane could wipe out most everything that we have. There may be a day when we are no longer given the freedom to worship as we please. Maybe a day when we're persecuted because of our faith, but we can still have joy. This morning we're going to look at three reasons why we can have joy or we can rejoice in our salvation. The first reason that we can rejoice in our salvation is because of what we have been saved from. How many of you have ever had a close call or an accident in a vehicle? Quite a few hands gone up. And you're here to tell about it. You're here to raise your hand. You know, I remember I was 17. And one of our friends at church had just got a new car. It was fast and all kinds of things to get a 17-year-old excited. I can remember going out for a ride that night. And somehow, before it was all over, he had lost control from the car. There was an accident. I was thrown out the back window of the car. And I can remember there was a little bit of, once it was all settled, I mean, I walked away without any broken bones. I had a cut across my forehead here, a hematoma on the back of my head, and some poison ivy. You may be thinking, poison ivy? I was covered in road rash. My brother was in the car with me. He panicked because I'm up walking down the road, decides I need to lay down, not paying attention where he laid me down. It's made a great combination, but when it was all said and done, the car was totaled. Both front seats had broken off and ended up in the back seat where I would have been. And all this, and at some point you're like, wow, this could have been a whole lot worse. And you recognize what it is you've been saved from. Another situation wasn't near as life-threatening, although it could have been close for me. We had just moved to Pennsylvania for Bible college, and we had some friends that lived in New Jersey. It wasn't that far away, and they said, hey, come over and visit us Sunday. You can come to our church. We'll have lunch afterwards. You can swim in the pool, yada, yada. So we're like, oh, yeah, that sounds like fun. So we go. And we spend the day with them, and it's, I don't know, maybe 4 in the afternoon. We decide to head home, and we're driving along, and we see a sign that says, you know, 60 miles to New York City. Like, that might be fun. Well, you know, we'd never been in New York City. And so we're like, well, that's not that far away. Maybe we can just drive around and see the skyline, see the Statue of Liberty in the distance, and then we'll go home. Well, that few miles took a lot longer than we imagined. Ended up finally getting dark and late, and little did we know that was the eve before the National Republican Convention started, so things were very busy and chaotic and all this. And I think we did end up seeing the Statue of Liberty looked about that big from the distance. But me being frugal or cheap, however you want to look at it, we were down to about a quarter tank of gas. It's like, I am not paying the prices that they are charging here in the city. Do you ever really know, if you're familiar with the area, once you get outside of New York City on I-80, there are very few exits in the mountains. Very few that have gas stations. We just moved to the area. I'm not even sure we had cell phones. We didn't know anyone. We finally make our way to an exit that said there was a gas station, but now it's like 11 o'clock, and then we get there and pull in. The gas station was closed. And as I'm driving along, the low fuel light had been on for a while. We finally pull in, and I was never so glad to see a gas station. One might say I rejoiced. As I almost put 20 gallons of gas in a 20-gallon tank, realized how devastating and all that could have happened, all that could have gone wrong. But I think about, do we ever really think about salvation? I mean, it's a term we throw around, and I've said this before. You know, we're quick to say, yeah, I'm saved. Folks, what are you saved from? I would say one of the things we're saved from is our sinful lifestyle. Romans 6 would say that you have been set free from sin. Those believers, it's very easy to look at the sinful world in which we live in and judge them. But one thing we need to realize, church, that if it had not been for God's grace, had we not heard the gospel message, had we not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, we could be that person. We could be the lady who was driving in Lehigh Acres and had her children in the back seat and was high on drugs and had fentanyl in her car. That's one of the latest stories in the news. That could have been you or I had it not been for the grace of Jesus Christ and being saved from our sins. So we've been saved from a lifestyle of sins, but we've also been saved from God's wrath. We serve a holy God. A God who cannot tolerate sin. A God who is a God of wrath. It is impossible to have a relationship with God left in our sinful state. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that those who do not put their faith in Jesus Christ will spend eternity in torment. In fact, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were all judged, each one according to his work. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Church, this is what we have been saved from. If you're here this morning and you put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, you have been saved from the lake of fire. I don't care what our culture tries to tell you about hell. A lot of them say it's an imaginary place. It's not real. Folks, it's real. And if you believe the Bible to be true, as I do, and what we just read to be true, notice what it says. It says that everyone was resurrected from the dead. It says death and Hades gave up the dead. They were resurrected. They were brought back to life. And a lot of people don't realize this. It is a physical body that is cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know about you, but one injury I really don't like is to be burned. Have you ever had anybody play that trick on you twice, how a match burns twice? Well, they light it and it burns, and then they blow it out and then they stick it on your skin. See, it burns twice. Troy, don't do that to your kids. But the reality is, you know, it's a painful experience, and it's one that doesn't go away. And we're told that hell is a lake of fire that does not go out. There's no rest. There's no rest in the agony. The fire is real. The torment is real. It is eternal. That is what we've been saved from. Now, if I can rejoice over making it through an accident, if I can rejoice about finding a gas station, can't we rejoice over this? The second reason we can rejoice in our salvation and the gift of salvation this morning is because it is secure. As humans, we like to feel secure. We like that sense of safety. You know, as I lived up north in Indiana, I always desired to have a house with a basement. Now, that doesn't work so well here in Florida because it would fill up with water. But, you know, when you live in an area that has a tornado season, and if you've ever seen the destruction of a tornado, you like the fact that you can go down underground and be safe and secure. In fact, it wasn't that many years before we left Kokomo, Indiana. It was near Thanksgiving that a string of tornadoes came through the area, and we were in the basement, and we listened to the wind howl as a tornado went over our home. But there is a sense of security being in a basement. Just like there is more security being in a home with storm shutters during a hurricane than there is a mobile home park here in Florida. This is the wonderful thing about our salvation. It's secure. You know, our names are written in the book of life with permanent ink. God didn't pencil them in. And we can have the assurance this morning that God is not going to change His mind. Hard for us to relate to. There's been so many times here on earth when we've been let down. Someone may have made a promise and not kept it. Or how about those warranties, right? A lifetime warranty gives you the assurance that if you buy something, if something goes wrong, they'll replace it. But what happens when the company goes out of business? Or how many of you have had a car break down only to find out that the warranty doesn't cover the sensor? It's like, I thought it covered the drivetrain. Well, it does. Well, the drivetrain won't run without the sensor. Well, that's not covered. And it wasn't that long ago I found out that lifetime warranty on a piece of furniture does not mean my life. It means the life expectancy of the piece of furniture, which is about 6 years. Praise God, that's not the case when it comes to our salvation. The security of our salvation is not dependent upon an underwriter. It's not dependent on our actions either. You know, often a warranty might be void if you don't take proper care. You know, maybe a household item, something in the kitchen, you void the warranty if you put it in the dishwasher. But in Ephesians 2, we're told that we are not saved by works so that no man can boast. It means there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but on the flip side of that, there's nothing we can do that will keep us from being saved. I love John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus would say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Folks, I'd encourage you, mark this passage down. Go back because there's so many key things to look at. You know, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And then the idea that no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one means no one, by the way. I've heard people make the argument, well, we can choose to walk out of God's hand. I'm in agreement with Ozzy over here. You may try to choose to walk out of God's hand, but that would be a mistake if you're truly a born-again Christian, because He will discipline you. But I love the idea, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one, and who is greater than God? Who is greater than God to protect us? He is the creator of all things. The creator is always greater than the created. That means not Satan, nor any power, nor anything here on this earth can take away our salvation. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? No matter what goes on in this crazy world, we can trust in that. We can believe in that. That is our hope. And my golly, we can rejoice in that. My golly, that's a good one. It's a good thing Brad and Jennifer are here. They'd write that down. You know, the last reason we can rejoice this morning is because God has given us His Holy Spirit. Part of the gift of salvation, we're told, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within us. And the Holy Spirit does so much more than we realize, but it guides us, it directs us. I mean, if you think about it, how many of you have ever been given a task and never given instruction on how to complete it? Frustrating, isn't it? When I worked at Home Depot, this would happen as part of the merchandising team. We'd work overnight. We'd set up all those wonderful displays that you see in the aisles and get the instructions off the computer. It would never fail. There would be parts that were not in the instructions. The measurements would not be right. And you're just left trying to figure out how to piece it together on your own. It's frustrating. And to be honest, as a pastor, I run into a few situations like that as well. Situations where in Indiana in our church where we had an Awana program and we had a bus ministry and we'd send out to some of the local trailer parks, mobile home parks, and we'd pick up children and we'd bus them in. And part of our budget in our church in Indiana was that we had a certain amount set aside that we could help people outside of the church. But it would be we would pay a bill, we would never hand out cash and so forth. And sure enough, one Friday evening, I mean, it's 6 o'clock, banks are closed, really the utility companies are closed. They have this gentleman call me and says, "Hey, my kids are a part of your Awana program, their electric's turned off, and I need you to pay the bill." And I'm like, "Well, sir, I'm the pastor, I don't have access to the money, and there's a process that we can go through, and I can get that started on Monday morning." Time goes on, and all of a sudden he starts sending me texts on my personal phone. All of a sudden, he starts to threaten. And at this point, I'm like, you know, they don't teach you this in Bible college and seminary. Now what? This is Friday night. It's needless to say, between Friday and Sunday, I called every police officer that was part of the church and said, "Hey, can you come to church on Sunday morning?" But you know, when it comes to our faith, God didn't just say, "You're saved, now I want you to honor me with the way you live our life and leave us alone." No, He's given us His Word, but more importantly, He's given us His Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to help us live in a way that is pleasing to God. In fact, Romans 8 would say that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray. But also I would say the Holy Spirit is the one who allows us to have joy in our lives. And this next passage is probably familiar to many if you've been in the church very long, and that's Galatians 5, verses 22 and 25. As Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Did you notice that joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit? The idea is that if we live by the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, we can have joy in our lives. We can experience that fruit. If you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know that I've ever experienced that joy. And first of all, I'd ask you, have you trusted in Christ the Savior from your sins? And second, I'd say, are you yielding to the Spirit in your life? Because Romans 8, in the beginning of Romans chapter 8, it would say, if you walk according to the sinful nature, you will have the desires for that nature. But if you walk in accordance to the Spirit, you have the desires of the Spirit. And the reality is, often we can get caught up in the fleshly desires and the sinful things of life. And even Carmen talked about this morning in Sunday school. An example he used to use with his Sunday school or with the youth group. And he would use a vacuum cleaner. And he says, you know, one thing with sin is, and then he'd have them hold a hand up. If you get too close to it, eventually it's going to suck you in. I say the same is true. If we get too close to walking in the flesh and too close to sin, then we're not walking in the Spirit, and it will rob us of the joy. It will rob us of the fruit. And I have to ask, are you yielding to the Spirit this morning, or are you yielding to the flesh? If we allow God to lead us through His Holy Spirit, we can have joy. We can have joy in no matter what is going on. We can have joy in all circumstances. The reality is, many people listen in online, and there are several of you here this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life today. Possibly there's something that happened this past week that has robbed you of your joy. Possibly it's something that's happened this past year. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe it's been a difficult year financially. Possibly someone has moved away. And honestly, this morning, I was reminded of Gary and Juanita Parsons as we sang Go Tell It on the Mountain, because Gary used to sing it every Christmas. And they have moved up into the Tampa area, and they are missed. Regardless of whatever is going on in your life, we can have joy. Let's not forget about how wonderful the gift of salvation is. Christmas season is winding down, but let it be a reminder. Let it remind us of the gift of salvation. Let it remind us of what it is we have been saved from. We've been saved from our sins. We've been saved from God's wrath. Let it be a reminder that our salvation is secure. Let us be reminded of the Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives and how He can bring joy. As I've said already this morning, we don't know what's in store next year. Just because the last digit of the year changes doesn't mean the circumstances are. But I can assure you as Christians, it can be a year of joy. My prayer is that others will see that joy. Others will see the peace that we have. Others will see the love that we have. See that our peace and love and joy are not dependent upon our circumstances. They're all from God. They're all part of the wonderful gift of salvation that I trust you have received this morning. My prayer is that we don't take it for granted. The reality is, in a few weeks and even a few days, the Christmas decorations are going to come down. Christmas music and Christmas carols will not be played until late November. We will be left with the news and what the media tells us. Probably a spike in COVID cases because people traveled over Christmas. The list can go on and on of things that could bring us down. Let's not let it. Let's not allow our flesh to get caught up in all of what the media has to say, all that Satan wants to use to distract us. Let's stay focused on who we are in Christ. Let's stay focused on the wonderful gift of salvation. And may we have joy regardless of what takes place in the next year. The thing is, folks, as a church, we need it more than ever because joy is contagious. And people are probably going to wonder, why are you happy? Why are you rejoicing? What an opportunity to say, because I know my name is written in the book. Let's pray. Father, we thank you just for the time we've had this morning together to be able to worship you, to be able to look at some of the truths of your scripture, truths about our salvation and the wonderful gift that we have been given. And Lord, as we have celebrated Christmas, it is a reminder of the sacrifice as Jesus would leave heaven's glory and come to this world to walk amongst men and to eventually die on the cross with also that we could be saved from our sins and have eternity with you. And we thank you for that this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.